I say, what? Oh, this is Brian. Call me, try as I may, Gardner. Coming to you from the Devil's Hole, a.k.a. the Ramble On Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Hesper, Ontario. You are listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 130 on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network. Ramble On Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to Ramble On Radio for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I happen to mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, leave a review. Pop over to, even if you don't do us through iTunes, pop over and leave a review. It helps with placement, helps other people find us. We're on Podbean. If you're using an Android, Podbean has their own app. I understand from people who have those that's their Podbean is their podcasting weapon of choice, and we're on Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. You can listen on Spreaker, Spreaker, and be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. And as well, we're now on Stitcher Radio. So, by the way, it's just me. I should probably specify that. Also, check out Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook. And at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. That intro you heard was Mystery Train, Led Zeppelin, performing Mystery Train, the old Elvis song, from San Diego, June 19th, 2000. I got 2017 written here. Duh. June 19th. Did you miss it? Did you miss the big reunion concert? June 19th, 1977, in San Diego, Mystery Train. They tied it in with Black Country Woman, I think it was. I got to check. And we'll outro with the other half of that. But yeah, it was Black Country Woman it tied in with. And we'll just outro with that. And yes, 40 years ago, the final American tour, the 77 tour, was off and cooking. And I was 14. I turned 14 the day of the last concert, actually. So, yeah, I remember we traveled from here in Toronto area down to Florida that year, and the old 4-day drive down, with the camping trailer in the back, and you know, and though for the kids these days you don't get it, it was three boys in the back seat. Mom and dad up front, us three boys in the back seat. One seat, three guys. You did not have, you just didn't have space for stuff. You wiggled and your brother smacked you for wiggling around while he was trying to not wiggle. And it was not fun. The transmission ran along the middle of the car and there was a big hump in the back seat and it was uncomfortable as heck. And so every time you stopped, it was a battle as to who has to sit on the hump for the next 4 hours. But anyway, the long story short, you didn't have a lot of reading material. You didn't have any entertainment. I had three magazines. Hit Parade, Cream. Maybe I had two magazines. I don't even remember what the third one was. Definitely I had those two. And they both focused heavily on Led Zeppelin 1977 tour. And almost everything I knew for years about that tour, I knew from reading Lisa Robinson and Hit Parade, reading the Cream magazine. Which tells you how far back it was. Had the Runaways on the cover, by the way. They were a brand new band. Had Tom Petty, Hit Parader had Tom Petty. Big Tom Petty was a creamer. One of them had a big Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers article. And they had not released an album yet. It was upcoming. This was the upcoming hot band was Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. So just to give you an idea of what... But so that's, yeah, the 70s. And I'm going to... Here comes famous last words. I'm going to do a couple of bits on the 77 tour the next couple of weeks. So expect, it's been a long time between podcasts. I appreciate life's just busy. And sometimes it gets hard. And I'll tell you a really quick story today. I kind of all week been going, I got to get a podcast in. I sat and, you know, kind of wrote down everything I want to note, everything I want to say. And bearing in mind, it's been a few months, and I am missing stuff. I know I'm missing stuff. So if your favorite story of the last couple of months gets missed, That's just because I'm trying to play catch up. But, so I thought, now we're going to be building a little garden wall, and this weekend, next week I'm on holidays, and that's kind of my project. And it's just a small retaining wall. It'll be, you know, 6 inches high on one garden, 9 on the other, I think. You know what I mean? It's like bricks, like a brick wall around the gardens. There's a small garden, a big garden. So it was being delivered today, and I decided if it comes early enough, I will move all the stones that I need for the small garden to the back. Maybe kind of set out the bricks for the back so I get them level, get all that level. Spend an hour just getting things level in the small garden. And then I'll come in and do my podcast. And then they said it was supposed to rain. So I thought, well, I'll get done when I can. If I can't get it done today, no big deal. That was the issue. It arrives at 9 o'clock. So I got, okay, I have my coffee and my breakfast. And then I go out and start moving these 60-pound bags of gravel to the backyard. And I'm kind of laying them out in the small garden. And I realize that's not the gravel I ordered. So I go up and look. And I cut back it's all wrapped in plastic. I cut back the plastic. Those aren't the bricks I ordered. Completely wrong. Everything's wrong. So now I'm running back to Home Depot. I'm 45 minutes in Home Depot trying to get this straightened out, trying to make arrangements to get the new bricks. We've decided we'll stick with the gravel that we got. Bottom line is the gravel I ordered, they didn't have, so they just replaced this other stuff. And instead of pea gravel, it's a regular gravel, but it's small. Anyway. So now I got to go home. I got to move the gravel. I can't just leave the gravel on anymore. I can no longer. Now my time is not my time. Now the gravel's got to be moved. All of it. Because they're coming to replace the bricks sometime this afternoon. And it's supposed to rain. So instead of maybe an hour doing this one little job, and I had no set time on it. So an hour was fine. It didn't have to get done in an hour. What I got done in an hour would have been good. Now I end up spending 2.5 hours on it, just running around back to Home Depot. And that's the sort of thing that comes up. That's called life. And that's, and by the way, it's not a complaint. It's just so, I'm really, instead of sitting down at 11 o'clock and doing a nice little podcast with a coffee and stuff, I'm kind of cramming this in before I go to work. So this is why and every time I kind of try to do a podcast, something like this comes up. But that said, I am looking at doing 2 in the next 2 weeks, I think. Maybe be one, but I'm thinking 2 on the 77 tour. I'll do one about the basic tour, the shows, the set lists, blah, blah, blah. And then we'll look at those last 2 shows, last 4 days of the tour sort of thing. I think it was the last show was in San Francisco, right? With Bill Graham running it, and everything went haywire at the first of the Bill Graham's of the shows. They did the second show, and then, of course, Carrick Plant passes away a day later. So I'll get into all that detail, because I think it's really such a vital, everything we talk about when it comes to Led Zeppelin now. Why won't Robert Plant do a reunion? Blah, 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 blah. Every time we get into that, I think those 4 days are so key. The violence that occurred, the death of his son, it was obviously really key, but I think the violence that occurred around those couple of days also really affected him in a way. We'll kind of play into that. That's important. And so we'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks. Look for that next weekend, the weekend after. All right, so in history this week, going back to June 28, 1982, Pictures at 11 was released, Robert Plant's first solo album. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. July 3rd, 1969, Led Zeppelin appeared at the Newport Jazz Festival. July 4th, 1983, Robert Plant releases Big Log, his most successful solo hit. July 5th, 1969, they play the Atlanta Pop Festival. July 5th, 1971, the Milan show that ended in a riot. They did 3 songs. I remember reading about this, like, as a teenager, you know, I had the book, it was either the Circus Magazine book on Robert Plant. I actually think it was, but it may have been, Richie, damn, I can't think of his name. Anyway, one of the two books that was kind of around in the 70s. And reading about this and trying to make sense of it, they're rushed the stage and the stage collapse and all this stuff. And you're kind of trying, what's going on? It was hard to make sense of what happened. But nowadays, of course, we better idea that the police got a little out of hand. The fans pushed back. The fans maybe got a little out of hand. Everything got a little. Then came the tear gas. Then came people just trying to escape, and it got crazy. And I don't think they ever returned to Milan. I think that was the last time they played Milan. Although I couldn't be sure of that. And as I've pointed out before, 71 was also the last time they played Toronto. So the riot may not have actually had anything to do with the Milan riot, with why they didn't play Milan. It doesn't sound, my queries through the years, nobody's ever come up with a good reason why they didn't play Toronto. It doesn't sound like it was an issue. It sounds like it just didn't happen. So maybe Milan just didn't happen. If I ever get Robert Plant on the in the review seat or in this the interview seat, I'll ask him that. But or Jimmy Page for that matter, I guess. But yeah, holding my breath for that. July 10, 2009, Robert Plant receives his CBE by the Prince of Wales. That would be Charles at Buckingham Palace. That's Commander of the British Empire. I believe makes him Sir Robert Plant. And I get so confused on that stuff. July 11, 1969, the Laurel Pop Festival in Maryland. July 11, 1983, Principle of Moments release, Robert Plant's second solo album. So 2 weeks in a year after his first one. And then he would, of course, go on a tour with that album. And finally, July 13, 1985, Live Aid. Not that we all want to remember Live Aid, but there it is. And yeah, people were showing, I guess 4 days before Live Aid, or something like that, a week before, something like that, Jimmy Page did a couple of shows with the Beach Boys. Maybe it was July 4, maybe that's what it was. But I was seeing a lot of it last week. In 1985, Page was out, played two gigs with the Beach Boys. And I say, you know, it's an odd mix to me. And but the videos are out there. Lots of people were posting the videos last week. Okay, the last podcast I did, and my notes are this old that I said last week. Correction, last week I said, well, yeah, 3 months ago I said. I mentioned the Chris Farlow and the Thunderbirds, The Beginning from Jimmy Page Records. I commented the premier disc was 1,961 pounds. That is inaccurate. That is a mistake. The premier disc is 196 pounds, 10 cents. The standard disc is still 19 pounds, 61. And actually, I bought this. I wasn't going to. I had no intention whatsoever of buying it. And I kind of commented it on here. Why would I ever buy the Chris Farlow and the Thunderbirds? The guy who ruined Outrider. And so on. And I have no intention of buying this. But you do dumb things sometimes. And so what I did was, I had a Jimmy Page mug. I got a mug, right? I think I mentioned it at the time. And it got broken. Fortunately, I'm the guy who broke it. You know, because one of the kids did it, then you get upset. But when I'm the guy doing it, you can't get upset. Oh, I got broken. So I went back to the website to buy a mug. And nowadays, I didn't even realize this at the time I ordered it. It was a Sunday night, I think, and I was just kind of in bed with my computer on my lap, and oh yeah, I was going to order that. So I go and I order a new mug. And it turns out you can only buy them by two. And I didn't even realize I was ordering it, because it's one order. You go, well, I clicked one Jimmy Page mug. They probably show two in the picture, but I didn't think anything of it. No big deal. And it was the day they had released the Chris Farlow. And so there was lots of big, oh, the Chris Farlow was being sent today, blah, 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 that sort of thing. Shipping today. So the pre-order was over. It was an actual, and I just clicked by. What's that? Now, just the standard. 19 pounds, 61, not 196 pounds, certainly not 1,000 pounds, 19 pounds. So it wasn't a big deal. And shipping wasn't anymore because I had a record and the mugs. I was buying the mugs anyway, so it was just kind of an impulse buy. But then, it was one of those things, the next day you wake up and you get an invoice from jimmypage.com and you see, what did I buy that for? Are you kidding me? What did I buy that for? But anyway, I got it and it's not bad. And I'm going to, I'm holding it up so you can see it in the microphone, by the way. I love when I do that. Look closer at your speaker. You can see it. So I'm going to review that sometime in the next month or so. I'll give a listen to for you. I put it on once or twice when I got it, so I'll have to re-listen to it just to make sure I'm fresh on it. But it's not awful. How's that for? It's early 60s rock and roll is what it is, really. Okay, the other thing I mentioned, old Cella. I think I kind of said it was Coachella. It was a nickname for Coachella, which it wasn't. It was the concert in the desert. Last year featured the Stones, The Who, and other older acts and got nicknamed Old Cella after Coachella. It was not Coachella got named Old Cella. That was a mistake of it. And I was trying to remember off the top of my head how all that stuff worked. I'm standing firm on the rumor, however. 2018... Led Zeppelin reunion could be at the concert in the desert 2018. There's not going to be a 2017 show, by the way. Could be 2018, but may not be that. And that rumor kind of about 6 weeks after. And I had emails and conversations with James Cook over at Led Zeppelin News after the last podcast came out, and he wrote some stuff based on what I said. And we kind of back and forth a bit and call it coordinated our information. Although that sounds like it's some sort of, we're in cahoots together and we're not. But we just kind of back and forth on what he knew, what I knew. So we both knew kind of what was going on. And then, 6 weeks later, some guy comes out and says, oh, I'm hearing this rumor. And all of a sudden it was a big story in all the news. And you're going, hey, that was my rumor. But anyway, I haven't heard any different. I still stand firm, although... And on Led Zeppelin News, he has a link to a Robert Plant interview where he seems to suggest nothing is happening for that. And I am not saying it's definitely happening. I'm saying they discussed it. That's as far as it goes at that stage. But anyway, will it be old cello? Will it be nothing? Will it be something different? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But it was not Coachella. And that's just the correction I'm making. It was old cello. The concert in the desert. All right, so Pictures at 11 was released 35 years ago, last very week. Not this very week, last very week. I remember this coming out so well. I was day one at the record store to get this thing. You should see the shape of my record, by the way. Actually, not bad. I played the hell out of it. And for a long time, never quite... God, what is going on here? Because the guitar player, the arrangements are very, very different. And I had somebody said to me one time, he's just trying to recreate Led Zeppelin. And I remember going home and listening to it again, thinking, God, I'm not hearing that. There's nothing Led Zeppelin about it. It was hard to kind of get my head around what this album was, although there were songs on it that I liked. And Burning Down One Side, Worse Than Detroit, that sort of thing. But, it's a really interesting album. And as the years go by, I like it more and more. Mostly because the guitar work is so unique. And it's not a recreation of Led Zeppelin. That's an inaccurate statement. It's not an inaccurate, because he got a guitar player who doesn't play like Jimmy Page. But, and this is the neat thing, he does have a guitar player who does the one thing Jimmy Page does, and that is kind of avoids the guitar cliches, does things, does different chord voicings than rock guitarists do as a standard, does different Yeah, different rhythmic feels, different, you know, whereas Robbie Blunt, though, is far more into the arpeggios, which is picking the chord. You know, instead of playing it like this, I have a guitar beside me, so you're doing this. And he kind of doing a lot of sort of a thingy throughout. A lot of arpeggios, a lot of different-ish voicings. And the songs are not written in standard kind of song, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus, verse format that most bands do, that certainly by 1981 most bands were heavily back to doing. And Led Zeppelin never did that. It never really did that. Or even when they did, like, say, Fool in the Rain, it was not obvious they were doing that, you know? It doesn't feel like that's what they're doing. Well, Fool in the Rain, no chorus, right? Hot Dog, I guess, had a chorus, but Fool in the Rain is just verse, bridge, verse, bridge, verse, outro. So it's, yeah, it's a unique album in that, and this and the and the next album, The Principle of Moments, both were very unique in that way, in that the songs were just different. And Robert Plant's singing is top drawer at the time. Yeah, as the years go by, I like this album a lot, an awful lot. Yeah, I think it's Robert Plant on top of his form and with a very good band. Just discovered, by the way, that Robbie Blunt is on Facebook. The Robbie Blunt Band, I think. But it'd be, yeah, I'm going to have to check out what he's up to these days. Get back to you on that. Okay, this came via Facebook from Jim McCarty on somebody else. Somebody else had posted a video, an audio link of a song from the Anderson Theater, Yardbirds at the Anderson Theater, which was after Led Zeppelin were famous around 71. Columbia Records, the record company the Yardbirds were on anyway, released an album called The Yardbirds Feature, Live Yardbirds featuring Jimmy Page, which Jimmy Page then sued to have quickly pulled. And you can't find, I have a copy of the album. Most Led Zeppelin, heavy duty Led Zeppelin geeks have found a copy of this album through the years. It sold well enough in that couple of days or week that it was on the shelf that it's available. But they are making it reavailable. It's being remastered. Presumably, the really crappy fake audience sounds, and you're getting the complete concert. Which I contacted Jim McCarty and asked about that. He said it's pretty much the complete concert anyway. But yeah, you get the complete concert remastered. Jimmy Page is in on the remastering. And that is coming this fall, as well as they are releasing some studio material that was recorded around that time period. That's what Jim McCarty said, some studio material that was recorded around that time period. So that would be the Yardbirds as a foursome with Jimmy Page on guitar, studio material, new studio material. So we're not getting new Jimmy Page material, we're getting 50-year-old Jimmy Page material, but we're getting it. And that was 68, spring of 68, I think that concert was. So that's coming this fall. I will start, once let me get my holidays over, then I will start actually investigating, getting a copy, finding out who's releasing it, finding out more information on it. But I'm looking forward to that one. I actually really like that concert. I have that album, and you know, it was one of those things I listened to once when I got it, because it's a bit collectible. You get it because it's collectible. And you'd heard the quality was crap and this and that, because Jimmy Page says the quality is crap. And I put it on and I go, okay, I prefer, you know, Led Zeppelin's version of Dazed and Confused and this and that. You kind of go, yeah, I don't know. And I put it away. Years later, I pulled it out. I was putting together MP3s for my, you know, MP3 player when I first got one, and I pulled it out to put on there, to MP3-ify it, and kind of like, geez, this is really, really good. And I've listened to it, you know, every couple times a year now, and it is a really good album. It is a really good band playing well, and so I'm looking forward to this release. Okay, so the guys of Black Country Communion, there was a Facebook post this week or last week. Was it Facebook or one of the social media posts of them doing promo shots together? They're in Europe, actually, but doing promo shots, presumably for the new album, which I believe is also due in the fall. So we got, you know, we got Robert Plant's got his new album coming out in the fall, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. We got Black Country Communion has an album in the fall. We got Live Yardbirds coming out in the fall with new studio material, presumably new unheard material of Jimmy Page in that. We just got to get through the summer. We got some stuff. We got it going on. And then you're into 68, the 50th anniversary. And there will be much to talk about, I guess, then. The guys in Black Country Communion have recorded their album. Of course, they're all on social media, and every time they have buzzes, this is the best one yet, blah, blah, blah. And they're saying that again. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I really like Black Country Communion, so it's interesting. Jason Bonham they're doing shows this month. I think they're at Syracuse or that-ish area, that kind of northern New York state. Next week, next Thursday. I know of that one for sure. I'll look up for the next podcast. I'll definitely look up. But I think they're playing with Foreigner, right? I think they're doing shows with Foreigner right now. So Jason's keeping busy, and I heard someone in the radio talking about going up to see Sammy Hagar. Of course, Jason was playing with him, so that would be the circle there, Sammy Hagar's circle. So Jason's keeping busy. He's keeping very busy. Okay, John Paul Jones has also been keeping busy, and there's so much kind of little things he's done. I know I'm missing stuff here. I know I'm missing stuff, but I'm just going back a few weeks. I'm going to go back about a month, actually. Early June, Jones performed new music at a church in North Yorkshire. And I'm kind of going to bring up the link here. There's a picture of him, some pictures of him actually with a lute, although I believe he played the mandolin. He joined the Amores Passados band for their Swaledale Festival performance at St. Andrew's Church in the village of Grinton, North Yorkshire, on June 4th. He played mandolin during the show. He debuted new music, premiered new music during the performance. Songs from the 20th century by certain people. And to complete the program, legendary Led Zeppelin bassist John Paul Jones, Genesis keyboard Tony Banks, and Sting were commissioned to write new lute songs, especially for this project. Banks had 17th century poems by Thomas Campion. Jones chose poems from Spanish literature, one of which was to receive its world premiere here, and Sting's Bury Me Deep in the Greenwood incorporates his own lyrics. Stunningly beautiful music in the perfect setting of Grinton Church. So Jones did perform. He wrote a few of these pieces based on Spanish literature. And I apologize. That's the phone on John Paul Jones's piano going off there. And he did perform one of the pieces. It was called Cradle Song. It was ravishing. And it was based on a poem by William Blake, which would not be of Spanish origin, so take that for what it's worth. But anyway, he played mandolin on the piece, and he was also, I guess there was probably lute player there, and he probably borrowed his lute, so we've seen playing the lute with the lute. And then in late June, he was in Vadsø, Norway, performing at the Sun Station Vadsø Festival. Worth noting, there was also an Ice Station Vadsø Festival. I have been for a couple of years now using Ice Station Zeppelin during the winter months to describe Hespler here. I did consider suing for copyright, but then I realized that I stole it from Ice Station Zebra. So I thought maybe that would come up in court, and so I'm not going to sue the Ice Station Vadsø Festival people now. And if you're a Norwegian lawyer who's thinking, I'm going to sue that guy. That was a joke. It was just a joke. He performed as part of a new band called Snow Eye with Ella Maria Era and Lucy Parnell. And I know I'm not pronouncing that right. And not a chance. especially the Marja. I bet you that's what it is, Marja. M-A-R-J-A, but there's umlauts over the A's. And then E-I-R-A, era, El Marja, era, something like that. And Lucy Parnell. There's a video. There's videos, and there's one with him doing a kind of. Now this Ella Marja era is a. She does Norwegian chant singing. Or hypnotic Norwegian chant singing or something. Like, I looked her up, and it was a. And I oh. So there's a video of them doing kind of a chant song. He's on mandolin, and he's actually. Bumping it up a bit. He's giving it a bit of a rock. And she's doing what to my ear appears to be fairly one, maybe two sentences of song repeatedly, which would be a chant, so that would make sense. But it's all obviously possible that in Norwegian language that, you know, she was saying a lot of very different things based on inflection that I was beyond me. But anyway, he's actually kind of. She's getting into his face a little bit, dancing with him, and he's getting back in there, and he's kind of boogieing away, and she's bringing it out in him, you know, the some real stage presence in him. And I just kind of thought, apparently Robert Plant is the wrong kind of blonde to bring Jones out of his shell. She is a pretty blonde, and yeah, he was enjoying it, and he was kind of getting into it a bit. While in Norway, though, he actually performed a number of shows. There's videos for all sorts of them. And the easiest thing is check LedZeppelinNews.com for a full report on this. Probably check Tight But Loose. I'm sure he has a full report as well. But he did do a number of shows. There is video of the Snow Eye, two or three songs. There's a video, like say, with Ella Marja era. There's video with an electric band. So there's quite a bit there. And finally... So Robert Plant's website read "Anytime Now," just a black screen with that. And of course, the big Led Zeppelin reunion rumor that went around 6 or so weeks ago used that as evidence that kind of idiotically as evidence that Led Zeppelin was reuniting, and Robert Plant was going to announce that on his webpage, which makes no sense. Led Zeppelin has their own webpage. Jimmy Page tends to do these announcements. Robert Plant holds back from that stuff in a way. Robert Plant has his own album coming out, so on and so forth. So really, it was probably, and he was asked about it in an interview, and kind of hinted, yes, there's a new album coming out, and that's what it's about. So, you know, kind of throw that out the window that it's about Led Zeppelin. It's just about Robert Plant's new album. But it now reads, a couple of days ago it changed. It now reads, Away With Words. Now, this is interesting because he does it. It's a small A, capital W, small A, small Y, away, with words, capital W on words. And it's kind of close together, almost like one word. It's hard to see where the spacing falls. So it reads like, it could be away with words, as in he has a way with words, or away with words, as in be rid of words, enough with the words. It's kind of a, and it seems intentionally he's gone for the contradictory messages there. Are they contradictory? Away, be gone with your words, and he has a way with words. This one's a celebration of words, one's a scorning of words, so sort of contradictory. But yeah, two different possible interpretations there, as I guess the best word. So now, could that be the title, Away With Words? Now, supposedly the title is Carry Fire. That comes to us again from James over at Led Zeppelin News. It was announced by author Andrew O'Hagan, who interviewed Plant on stage at the Hay Festival June 4th. And as he was introduced Plant, he said, his next album, Carry Fire, will be out in October. It's coming out in October. Will it be Away With Words? Will it be Carry Fire? What does he mean by Away With Words? Does he mean, these are all riddles that will solve themselves in a very short order. But again, three albums coming out this fall that are relevant to us here. I better start saving my pennies. So you know. But it will be, by the way, a sensational Space Shifter album. There has been reports a viola player played on it. Nigel Kennedy, I think, there was talk about. There's some different stuff has gone on. He recorded for sure in Wales. Actually, in Skin Thompson, Tyson's hometown. He recorded at Peter Gabriel's studio, which I believe is in London. And it has a special name, but he recorded it in part of it in Peter Gabriel's studio. And he was in New York a couple of weeks back, presumably doing some final mixing, maybe some final recording. But we don't know for sure on that. So that's it. That's a kind of a longish. I didn't give myself a drink, so my throat's getting harsh here, and I do have work to go to, and I have a freaking stone wall to build, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to leave it at that. That's it for Ramble on Radio, episode 130. Check rambleonradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google+, and... No, don't bother Google+, actually. And at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio throughout to iTunes. If you're in iTunes, leave a review. Pop over if you're subscribing or not subscribing, either way. Maybe you're getting the new... no, I can't think of a relevant song that's new out. But go leave a review. It's what you leave a star, or two or three or five, and mention a review. Every once in a while, I kind of stumble into and go through reviews, and I want to thank those who have reviewed. I get very positive reviews, actually, and I appreciate that very much. It's great. I appreciate what you're doing out there. But if you leave a review, it just the Apple algorithms use that to kind of rate the podcast higher. More reviews, the more the higher it shows up in their lists, which means the quicker it shows up when somebody searches Led Zeppelin, it's more likely to show up under podcasts. If it has more reviews, more listens. Just leave a review and it helps other people to find us. You can listen on Stitcher Radio and on Spreaker, Spreaker, at Ramble on Radio, and be sure to follow Ramble on Radio on Spreaker. Again, same idea, it helps people find us. Download it from I Am Brian Dammit on Podbean and check out Ramble on Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 130. And we're going to outro with the second part of that clip from San Diego, June 19th, 2017. Got to stop writing that. 1977. It was Mystery Train and Black Country Woman. You heard Mystery Train in the intro. Here's Black Country Woman for the outro.
Switch off the internet.